and welcome back to week three. I hope you've had a fabulous week. I don't know about you, but the week has absolutely flown for me. I wonder how you've got on with the exercises that you did during the week, with the questions that I left you with last week. I wonder what you've noticed about your relationships, how your self-awareness has grown. I wonder how you've found spending time thinking about the most important person in your life, which is you. And I wonder what you've learnt from doing those exercises, reflecting on them, thinking about them, and asking yourself those questions every day. Key start to making change happen is gaining self-awareness. Without self-awareness, we can't do anything new or different. We'll just get stuck in our old patterns and ways and habits. And now that you've got that self-awareness, we're going to be able to build on it in this session and also take you further into goal setting. So in order to do that, I want to ask you to take a look at this week's recap questions. And every week from now right through to the end of the program, we're always going to start with some recap questions. And the reason is, when we've done a lot of work, which you have done over the last week, at least I hope you have, then we need to just look back at how did it benefit us, what did we learn from it, and how can we build on it, how can we use it to build on the next session, so that each of the sessions feeds the next one. And by the time you get to week 16, you'll have covered so many different topics about yourself, you'll have greater clarity about goal setting, you'll have looked at your limiting beliefs, your patterns, your challenges, and you'll have a wealth of knowledge that you can then transfer onto any other future goals, which will be even easier the next time around. So the first exercise is 30 minutes. At least 30 minutes. You might be able to do a bit quicker, but generally to look at the questions, it takes about that long to really get clear about them, especially if you're working with someone else. So if you take a look at them, they're the questions that say, how do you know you're clear about why you want to set your goals? So we're looking for evidence here. I want you to be very clear about how you know. What have you learnt about your blind spot if you did the optional extra, which I really hope you did? What did you learn about that? How did you see yourself compared to how other people saw you? And hopefully you only ask people that you really trust that would share that information with you. And what habits did you identify during the week? And what patterns did you identify as well? And even though it was only week two, have you started to notice any changes by being aware of your habits and patterns? So sometimes when we recognise that we're doing a habit or a pattern such as a frustration or anger or sadness or being fed up easily or impatient, sometimes just noticing it is enough for it to come to the front of our minds and for us to challenge it when we catch ourselves doing it. So have you noticed anything like that? If not, perhaps you could start to notice from now on. But if you have, please make sure that you note that down. And what's one really important thing did you learn from last week's lesson? And what change or progress have you made or noticed during the week? So please stop the audio now and take about 30 minutes. If you do it quicker, that's fine. But if you do it with someone, it should take you probably that long to run through that. And just get very clear about those answers before you move on to the next exercise. Okay, welcome back. So again, this exercise is aimed for you to take at least 30 minutes on it. And it's asking you to check your self-awareness, because we're going to start to work with changing some of your patterns. And as I've already said, we can't do that unless you become aware of what you're doing. So from the work you did last lesson and during the week, I'd like you to write down the patterns or behaviours that are your way of acting up. Now, if you've read Transactional Analysis, Eric Byrne, The Games People Play, if you haven't, that's okay, but I do recommend it. But if you have, you'll know that we play games, unconscious games, and we play games from our childish inner child part, we play games from our critical parent aspect in life. And so it's really important for you to be clear about how do you act up? What are the games that you play? And games are normally emotion-based. So some examples are impatient, controlling, suspicious, angry, those kind of emotional games that we'll play. And very often the anger might be the small child in us. And the controlling part might be the critical parent within us. And the impatience could be, again, the small child, because impatience is part of anger, not getting my own way, wanting it now. So just take a few moments and write down what patterns did you notice, and if you haven't, then please do that now, that are your way of acting up in your relationships, your way of getting your own way, or your way of showing that you're unhappy, rather than communicating in an adult or effective way. Stop the audio now and come back to me in just a moment. Welcome back. So now you've done that, I'd like you to move on to the next part of the exercise. I'd like you to write a sentence for each of the above. So the question or the sentence that you've got written down there is, I have a tendency to do or be, and it might be angry, suspicious, controlling, impatient, they were my examples, when, and then I want you to fill in X happens. So I tend to be angry when my partner isn't listening to me, that kind of thing. So please do that exercise next. Take each of your list and answer the question. I have a tendency to do or be whatever your list is of your acting up emotions, when, and then come up with something specific so you're very clear about what you're working with. When is it that you feel the emotions that you've listed as part of your acting up behaviours? So please stop and write as many as you can in 5 minutes. Give yourself 5 minutes, and I have given you an example there, but you can come up with your own. Okay. So how did you get on with that exercise? All these exercises so far are aiming to make you more aware of what you do and under what circumstances you do them. And when you get this clarity, then you're able to bring your behaviour from out of your blind spot into your conscious mind. And doing that is the first step towards making a change. It is going to take you out of your comfort zone and probably push you into your stretch zone, because this is something that you may, if you're not a coach or you haven't trained in personal development before, you may never have explored your behaviours, your actions, your thoughts in quite this way before. But those that I've worked with over the years who've started to look at them themselves and their behaviours in this way have been amazed at the difference it can make to making lasting change. So when you identify your behaviours, if you don't like them, if you want something different, remembering that you are not your behaviours, behaviour is just an aspect of the actions that you've been taking, and some of those actions have been unconscious, but now that you're aware of them, if they're not getting you the results you want, if you don't like the behaviour, if it doesn't make you happy, now that you're aware of it, you can choose to do something about it. And in order to do that, you're going to have to notice or catch yourself doing it so that you can stop the old practice and instead change your actions, your thoughts, or change it into what you want it to be instead. So, of course, in order to do that, you need to know what you want instead. So, for example, if you're impatient, or if you're angry, or if you're controlling, it would be really important for you to get clear about, if you don't want to be impatient, what do you want to be instead? So perhaps you could do that now. Take a look at that list that you created and just go through it and check, if I don't want to be this, impatient, angry, whatever you had in your list, what would I like instead? Just again, become aware of that. And all of these are little building blocks towards the greater work that we're going to do together. So just take a moment and do that exercise before continuing. Okay, so now that you've got that, there's some bullet points in your workbook, and they remind you that change occurs when you become aware of what you're doing, know that you don't want to do it anymore, and decide that you want to alter or change that behaviour or habit. Change also occurs when you start from within, when you start with what's going on right now and create a future vision of how things will be instead of how they have been. And that's what you've just kind of done there, because you've thought about what you don't want, and I gave you the example of impatience, and then you've thought about what you want instead. So we're creating, by thinking about what you want instead, we're creating a future vision of how things could be instead of how they have been or are at the moment. You're also going to be able to make change if you agree to learn from your experiences rather than win or lose from them. So any experience that you have, if you can stop and look at it and learn from the experience, then that will help you to change what you've been doing for the future. So if you know that you get impatient at something in particular, then you'll be able to say, so what can I learn about that particular experience that causes me to be impatient every single time? What is it that I do? What is it that the other person does? What's the trigger for me? What is it that causes me to step into reaction rather than response? So again, if you learn from the experience, and if you look at it as an opportunity for you to learn and change, then it's a first step towards bringing something of what you want in terms of your behaviours and your patterns into your life. Now, when people come to work with me, they on a one-to-one basis or even in small groups, they sometimes say things like, I want to get rid of this behaviour, or I want to get rid of this part of myself. It's very important that I share with you that the work that we're going to do together is not going to be getting rid of or getting cutting off parts of, whether it's behaviour or aspects of yourself. Very important that we work with who you are, where you are right now, and help you move towards the person you want to be in terms of characteristic traits and behaviours. When we want to cut off parts of us or get rid of parts of us, the unconscious mind has an uncanny way of deciding to hang on to them. And you may find it even more difficult to make changes. So it's going to be very important that you are aware of that and clear about that as we continue on this journey together. So I'd like to ask you now to return to the list that you created earlier. Now that you're clearer about your habits and patterns, which one of them would you most like to work on or change first? Now, by your list, I'm talking about I'm angry, I'm impatient, I'm controlling. That list you did just a few minutes ago. Now, I've given you an example, and I've stuck with impatience for you. So my example is that I might come to a session and say, look, I really dislike being so impatient with my children. And I've noticed that I'm particularly impatient with them when they're noisy. This actually is one of my clients' goals that she brought as part of her work with us together. Now, as it's coaching, it's important that we're realistic about capabilities in this early stage. So I need to think of, and you've already done this, what do I want instead? So if already I know I'm impatient, I might say I want to be understanding and patient with my children, even when they're making too much noise. So when you've done that, the next step is, do you believe that could be possible? Because if you don't, then there's a good chance that you won't take the actions to make this become a reality. And if you don't believe it's possible, then you may give up on it if it gets a bit difficult. So I'd like you to pick one of the emotions or behaviours that you currently experience that you'd really like to do something about or you'd like to work on changing. And I want you to get clear about, and you've already done this, I know, what is it you want instead, like we've just talked about. And then check, do you believe it's possible that you could have this or you could make this come true? Please go and do that now, and then we'll take a look at it together in just a moment. Okay, so now you've got that, please have it in front of you. Put it on a clean piece of paper, clean sheet of paper, or in your journal, however you're working for this program. Write down your new goal. And your new goal is, remember I'm giving you my example, I used to be impatient with my children when they were noisy, but my new goal is to be understanding and patient even though my children are making too much noise. So that's my new goal. So I need you to just take a moment and write down what your new goal is. What do you want instead of what you used to have? Please do that now. Now, when we're writing goals, it's very important that they're focused on what I want, not what I don't want. So if you were to write, I don't want to be impatient, that's a negative goal. And in coaching, we're always looking at working with positive goals. So please check you've written down what you want, as in I want to be patient and understanding, even though my children are making too much noise, rather than I don't want to be impatient with my children when they're making too much noise. I hope that's making lots of sense to you. So please check that your goal is written in a positive form. Please also check that it's focused on what you want and it's specific. So when you've written that you want to be patient and understanding, even though your children are making too much noise, how much noise is too much noise? That's the first question. So take a look at yours, and if you've said you don't want to be angry, or you want to be calm instead, or you want to be relaxed, or whatever it is, when something's happening, just check that you understand what you mean by what you've written. So I've written, I want to be understanding and patient, even though my children are making too much noise. First thing I have to check is, what's too much noise? How often do I want to be understanding and patient when they're being noisy? All of the time, 100%? Would 50% of the time be okay? Would 75% be okay? Or would 25% be okay? I need to know, I need to be very specific so that I don't beat myself up if I forget, and sometimes I'm not patient with them because I'm human, so I'm probably going to be impatient sometimes. And it may be it's got nothing to do with the noise the children are making. It may be other stuff, and the noise is just the icing on the cake or the last straw that causes me to feel impatient. But I need to become aware before I can really work with this. So please check that your goal not only is focused, but it's also specific, and that you're going to be able to measure to see if it's true. And with me, I'm going to be able to measure to see if it's true if I notice that I'm being patient 50% of the time, and that's what I was looking to be. So do that with yours, please. Just check that you're going to be able to measure in some way when you're less angry or, and more relaxed or more calm or whatever it is that you've written, when you're less controlling and more free-flowing or letting go more often, depending on what you decided to put as your opposite to the emotion that you selected. So please do that. Please do that now. Okay. Now, we've already covered this, but do I believe it's possible? So do I believe I could become more patient when my children are being noisy? And how will I know? So what I want to do is I want to become aware of what the telltale feelings are that I get for impatience. So for me, it might be that I get a feeling in my chest, and then there's a feeling in my throat, and I get those feelings, but I've never noticed them before. But now that I'm thinking about being impatient with my kids, I'm noticing that I get this rising energy, and that happens before I say anything. That happens before I actually get impatient. So I now know, if I can catch them early enough, I could stop them, I could interrupt them, I could challenge them, and I could prevent them from rising up to that point where I could make a noise of, or tell them off, or just get irritable or impatient with them. And what I realise is that I hear myself make the noise when I get impatient, and I see the picture in my head of them causing me to be impatient. Remember, we did some of this in week 2. So now that I know that I've got this strategy going on, I've got these feelings going on in my body, now I know that, I check, do I believe it's possible that I could notice them before they erupt and that I could do something about them? And for me, now that I've got that clarity and self-awareness, I can say yes, I do believe this is possible. So I want you to do the same for you now. How do you know from the past experiences when you start to feel that old emotion? How do you know when you used to get angry before you got angry? What happens just before you get angry? And what happens just before that? And just before that? And keep moving backwards from anger to calmness to check what happens before you move into the eruption of anger or control or whatever it is that you have selected. So please take a moment and do that now, and then we'll carry on with the next questions. Okay, so you're doing well, and what we're looking to do here is to break down the steps in terms of, when I say what happens, do you get a picture in your head? Do you get a feeling? Or do you talk to yourself? Is it your mind chatter that comes in just before you get angry? Or another way to look at this is, you're sitting there all nice and happy and calm, and what's the first thing that happens that causes you to feel less calm around your children being noisy? Because that's my example. Remember that? I'm going to use that throughout. You're using your own example. So I'm all calm and I'm happy, and then something happens that causes me to start to feel the stirrings of impatience. And what I want to do is I want to check what those steps are, and then what happens next, and then what happens next, and what's the last thing that happens before I get impatient. So I'm giving you two options here. Excuse me. You can either work on this from I'm calm, what are the steps that take me towards being impatient or angry, or you can go to being impatient and angry and work backwards. What happened just before, and what happened just before that, etc., etc., etc. So if you weren't clear about that, or if you didn't get that down, please do that now. You're not going to be able to do the further exercises if you don't. So stop the audio and get clear about the steps that take you towards the emotion that you've decided to work on, or start with the emotion and work backwards to where it is you want to be in terms of calmness or relaxation or less controlling, meaning that you let go or you're more free-flowing, whatever words you picked. Please do that now and then come back. Okay. Next step, how much do you want to achieve this? How much do I want to be patient and understanding with my kids on a scale of 1 to 10? 1 being, I don't want it at all. 10 being, I couldn't want it more. Well, I know I feel bad if I'm angry or impatient with my children. I know that afterwards I feel, wish I hadn't done that. So I know it's a 10 out of 10 for me. Remember, I'm doing the role play for my client who brought this to a session. So it's a 10 out of 10. So it's really important. So, yeah, I'm going to take action on this because it will make a difference to me. It'd be good for you to check. What difference would it make to you? What difference would it make to your well-being? What difference would it make to how you feel about yourself? What difference would it make to your day if you had this new positive goal rather than the old way of behaving, the old emotion that used to run you? Just check in with yourself now. Write a few points. What difference would it make if you had this? And when do you want it by? Now, ideally, I'd like this to happen today. But I need to check, is that possible? Could it really start from today? Well, you know, because of my awareness from the exercises I've done above, and because I want this 10 out of 10, this actually could start to change today. That's something that's really quite exciting, because when it's an intangible, when it's an emotion, when it's something about our behavior, when we're aware of what we're doing, we're in control of it, which means we could make some impact, some change. Now I know I could start to work on this today. Could you with yours? Get clear about that. Next question. What will happen if you fail? That's a really important point to take into consideration, because if you decide you want to be understanding and patient, and at the end of the day you realise that you achieved it once or twice, and for you that's failure, how's that going to make you feel? Or what if you forget? What if you decide you want to be patient and understanding, and then you forget everything that you said you would do, and it gets to the end of the day and you realise you weren't patient and understanding once? If that's failure, how will that make you feel, and how will you handle it? That's a key question. Many people give up because they don't succeed the first time they try something new. Now, I don't know if you've ever learnt anything like driving, riding a bike, swimming, how to use a computer, typing, how to use a new mobile phone, any of those things. For most of us, we don't pick it up the first time we try. We actually need to give things a go more than once. And so it's the same with this. If you're looking to change a behaviour or a pattern that you've been practising for such a long time, maybe you've been impatient, and maybe you've been upset or angry or emotionally charged or controlling or any of those other things that you highlighted, maybe you've been them for most of your life. Perhaps you've practised them for 10, 20, 30, 40 years, and here you are attempting to change them, and the first time they don't work, you beat yourself up emotionally and mentally. Now, if you think about that, it's not very rational, not very sensible. So give yourself a break, be realistic about the changes you want to make, and also be committed to the fact that you're going to have to take some action. There are no magic wands. If you really want this, which is why ideally we want it 10 out of 10, if you really want this, you are going to have to do some new things, and you're going to have to do them regularly. And you're going to have to become aware of them, and you're going to need to acknowledge what actions you need to take and the progress that you've made. Celebrating the progress, noticing what didn't go so well, learning from it, and then doing it differently next time. So get clear about how will you feel if you fail, and what will you do about it. Do that now, please. Okay, so check with yourself again. Do I have to be 100% perfect from day one? Now, if the answer is yes to that, you might set yourself up to fail. And that might be an unrealistic expectation. Doesn't mean it is, but it could be. So how will you handle any slips that you make? So if you slip and you forget and you catch yourself being impatient, you go, oh, this isn't what I want. What will you do? How will you stop yourself? How will you backpedal? And how will you learn from what you needed to do? So maybe you didn't notice the feeling in your chest or rising up to your throat. So what could you do to start to recognize it more easily so that next time you'll be able to stop it faster? So you need to get very, very good, very clear about what it is you're going to be doing. Again, this is all part of your self-awareness. So remember, most change, or whatever it is that you're looking for, needs ongoing and consistent action to happen. It rarely happens, like I've already said, after one attempt. So come on, get realistic. Start to challenge any negative mind chatter that you might have and notice what you did well and keep doing more of it. And by the way, if you don't like the word change, because words have got a lot of emotional power behind them, get clear about what you do like or what you do want instead. So if you don't like goals, if you don't like change, pick a different word. Start to empower yourself. Take some responsibility. Step into what is it you want. Some people are looking for things to be different. Some people are looking for things to move on. So if you like those words better, select them. And wherever I say change, substitute them for that. So what word would you like instead if you don't like it? And it's very important that you do make a decision about that now, because if you don't, it could slow your progress up. So check that you're okay with change and goals, and if you're not, please select more positive, more powerful words for you right now. And then every time you hear me say change or goals, substitute them. And if you see them in the workbook, cross them out, substitute them for your positive and powerful words. Do that now, please, and then we'll carry on with this exercise. Okay, well done. So now you're either working with change and goals with me, or you've got your new power, positive words. So my goal, once again, is to become more patient and understanding with my children. But I've got to get some realities. I've got the goal, but now I've got to get some reality around this goal. How often are my children noisy? That's the first thing. Remember, you're working with your goal. So I need to take a look at today or the day before, but something very recent so I can get realistic about what's going on for me. How often are they noisy? Is it all day? Is it most of the day? Is it half a dozen times in the day? Or is it just at tea time when I'm trying to get them ready for bed and trying to get them fed and trying to get them bathed? Is it just then? And is it really the noise that's bothering me? Or actually, is it more about the pressure on that time that causes me to get impatient with them? Is it just that there's too much going on? Some of my clients find out that pressure at certain times of the day are the things that make them angry, things that make them impatient, rather than the actual kids playing, etc., or being noisy. So get clear about when is it, how often is it? And for me, I need to ask myself, am I impatient with them every time they're noisy? Or is it just this one time? Is it just this 6 o'clock bit? The tea time, the bath time, the getting them ready for bedtime. Take some time now. Go check your statement, your new goal. How often does it bother you, or are you experiencing it on a daily basis? And do you react, respond the same way every single time that event happens? There's no right or wrong answers for this, but please get clear about it. Please do that now. Okay, so back to my goal. My goal is to notice when I'm feeling tired and overwhelmed. And when the children are noisy, I need to catch myself before I become impatient with them so that I can handle and manage my pattern or habit, because it's been controlling me and I've been unaware of that. And now I want to be controlling it. And I'm using controlling in a good way here, because I'm going to take charge of it so it's not causing me to feel bad about myself because I'm letting it run me. So What I might discover is that I might need to be a bit more understanding and patient with myself when they're being noisy, rather than being patient and understanding with them, because nothing's changed for them. They're just doing what they've always done. It's me who changes. Is this making sense to you? There's nothing about them that's changed. It's me that's reacting. So this is really good. Now that I'm getting this self-awareness, I know what I want, and I know that to do it, I need to notice when I'm starting to feel tired and overwhelmed. But what can I do to change my behaviour when I do notice? So now I've noticed, what do I do with that information? Well, here's what I've come up with, and I'm going to ask you to do the same in a minute. I'm going to ask you to look at what could you do when you become aware of your current strategy and behaviour that leads you towards, whether it was anger or impatience or control, etc. Well, here's what I could do. I could give myself space to notice my pattern and then give myself some understanding and patience. I could breathe deeply. Perhaps step myself away from the noise for a moment. Step into another room, or if it's a nice day or evening, just go step into the garden. Maybe get some fresh air. As I found that I was feeling a bit overwhelmed by all the different tasks I had to do and I was putting myself under pressure, maybe I could just write down what I feel overwhelmed about. I mean, that could be interesting for me to look at that. Maybe I could ask for some help at that time of the day so that I could grab 10 minutes for myself to have a break so that I feel less tired. I mean, I don't know if these are absolutely possible at the moment, but they're things I could think about doing. And maybe there's some other things I could do. So take some time now and please go look at your new statement, what you want instead. And now that you know it's realistic and possible, ask yourself, what could you do in order to break your pattern? What could you do to change your behaviour? What could you do is the question. So stop the audio, take some time and select some coulds. Do that now, please. Okay, so now we've got some coulds like I have. I have a look at them and I think, right, I like all of these ideas. Not all of them are going to be possible for me. So which ones could I do that I want to do? Well, the first one I'm going to do is number two. I'm going to breathe deeply. When I catch myself feeling the sensation of impatience, and I'm going to take myself away from the noise for a moment and just step into another room. I'm just going to do that. And do some deep breathing. And then I'm also going to do number three, which is I'm going to write down what's overwhelming me, what the problem is, and then see if there's anything I can do about that, either in the moment or later on. Now, if I manage to do that most of the time, let's say 50% of the time, if I manage to do that 50% of the time over the next week, I'm going to personally hail that as a success. I'm going to see it as a huge improvement. I mean, 50% improvement on being impatient with my kids. Wow, that's really moving forward with this. Now, if I manage less than 50% of the time, I'm going to look at what I did well, I'm going to look at what worked, and I'm going to look at what I need to do more of tomorrow to make it work better. So if I don't even do 50%, I'm still going to look at the positives so that I can learn from them, so that I can continue to break this habit. That way, I won't give up. I won't make statements like, well, there's no point. I knew it wouldn't work anyway. I can make progress because this goal really, really matters to me. Now, could you do the same with yours, please? Could you take a look at it? Could you make a decision about the percentage of time or the number of times that you want this to be a success? That's your aim. This is your intention that you're putting out there. And could you also then look at, well, what will you do if it doesn't meet your target? Maybe you'll use my checklist of ideas, or maybe you'll have some that you'll add to it, or maybe you'll have some a mixture of yours and mine, or maybe you'll have some completely different ones. But please, please do that exercise now before you move on. Okay, so as well as the above checklist, you need to make sure that your goal, because that's what this is now, if you want to change a behaviour or a habit, it's a goal. It's something you want that you don't have. So it needs to be written in the present tense. So my goal might now say, it is now, and then put today's date in, and I am understanding and patient with myself and my children when they are making noise. Now, if you read that in your workbook, and if you hear me saying that to you, that goal's present, it's about today, It's specific. I know exactly what I want. I can measure it. I can measure whether I've been patient with myself, whether I've been patient with my children. I believe it's possible. It might not be possible 100% of the time, right from the word go, but I believe it's possible that I can do this, and I can certainly do it 50% of the time. I know what I'm going to do if I can't meet 50% of the time, but I'm going to keep measuring and keep looking forward to added percentage amounts on a daily basis. So noticing that if I'm patient two or three times today, maybe I'm four times tomorrow, maybe five times the next day, depending on when my problem was. For me, it was only at one particular time of the day. So I might find I'm patient 3 days out of seven. But for me, that will be nearly 50%. Are you with me on this? So it's possible for me. It's also got a date. It's today's date. I want to start working on it from now, from today. Now, you might have a different date. That's absolutely fine. So make sure it has got a date. My goal is simple to understand. It's very straightforward. Now, I want you to notice that in my goal, and you'll see this in your workbook, I took out too much noise and I left it with when they're making noise. Because, of course, too much noise might be too general. I might not really know when it's too much, because if it's about me and my patients, if it's about me and my overwhelm, then they might not be making too much noise. They might be making the same amount of noise. But for me, I won't be rational. I'll have moved into an emotional state. So I've decided to say it's now, and whatever today's date is for you, and I'm understanding and patient with myself and my children when they are making noise. That's my goal. Okay, here's some other ways that you can get to the end goal. So I started with I am impatient when my children make too much noise. But I could also rewrite that goal as I used to be impatient when my children made too much noise. Now I just notice it and breathe deeply. So I'm sharing with you some other ways that you could write your goal. Or I used to be impatient when my children made too much noise. Now I realise it was about my state, so I take responsibility for that and I move into another room for 10 minutes. Or I'm understanding and patient with my children when they are noisy, even though I'm feeling a bit tired. So each and every day I do, and then I want some actions that I'm going to take, and you pick your actions from your list of coulds. I already shared which coulds I was going to do with you. So each and every day I do, and then I pick my actions, which evidences to me, which tells me I'm working towards being more understanding and patient. And I notice the changes as I reflect on them before I go to sleep at night. So now I've got my goal, whichever one I've decided I'm going to pick. I'm now also going to notice the changes, and I'm going to reflect on them before I go to sleep each night. All that means is I do a quick recap of how did the day go, when was I patient and understanding with the children? And pretty much a little pat on the back, a little congratulations to me for having succeeded, even if it was only once in the day. If it was nothing before, if it was zero times before, now that I'm being patient and understanding instead, that's a real step forward for me. So all of the above are starting points for making change. So if you want change, you've got to take action. Without action, you're just saying nice things, you're just writing down nice goals, but you're not going to see any huge steps forward or difference. So now it's your turn. Take your example. Remember, I have a tendency to do or be when such and such happens, and follow the above procedure. Now, if you haven't been doing it with me as I talked you through it, stop this now, go back to it, take yourself through that procedure so that you're going to be at the same place as me at the moment, with a goal, knowing what you could do, knowing that it's realistic and possible, knowing what you will do, and having it very specific and clear, and knowing what your actions are so that you can start to notice them, you can start to practice them, and that you're going to be able to reflect on them starting from tonight if you decide you'd like your goal to be immediate. So please go and do that right now. Okay. So the statement or affirmation that you've come up with, it needs to be backed up with evidence that you can measure. So this is going to feed your unconscious mind that you are now whatever it is you want it to be. For me, understanding and patient. And it's really interesting that when you've got that in one area of your life, it might flow into other areas of your life too. And I might be understanding and patient with other people and in other situations and not just with my children, because I'm training my mind and my body to recognize when I stop being patient so that I can change that if I decide I want to. When you start to operate in this way, you're bringing your focus and your attention into the present. And change can only really occur in the present moment. And by doing that, you're starting to create positive future behaviour as well. So by changing your behaviour in the present, by taking action in the present, it means it's going to be easier for you to do it in the future. Next time you need to take the same action. So with coaching, we're not interested in the past or what we used to do. If you need to explore the past, if you need to understand why, if you need to pull apart or pick apart your life completely, then coaching may not be the best place for you, because coaches are very much about present moving into the future. So if you need to explore the past in great detail, you might decide that you'd like to speak to a counsellor or you'd like to speak to a therapist of some sort that will be able to help you understand and unpack the past in detail. We were just looking at your behaviours in this program, which are operating from the past. We need to be able to understand them so we can move you forward. But coaching is very much about present and future. Really important that you understand that. So even though we know that we have a past as coaches, even though we know that it's very interesting and colourful, what we're interested in is what we can do in the present moment. And your past does not have to equal your future, unless you want it to, of course. And every thought you have, every action you take today, creates your tomorrows. Now, if you can remember that, with this new way of noticing and acting, and maybe you want to write that out on a card somewhere, maybe you want to put that somewhere on a screensaver or on your mobile phone, or maybe you want to have it in your diary or in your car or on your desk or something, the past does not have to equal the future unless you want it to. Every thought and action you take today creates your tomorrows. If you find that helpful, if you find other quotes that are better, write them down, have them somewhere, put them on your phone, have them on alarms, do something that allows you to see them so that you can remember that, so that you can start to challenge your old behaviours. With this new way of thinking, you're going to be able to start to teach your conscious and your unconscious mind to start behaving in new and more positive ways. So now, it's going to be a good time for you to do the above exercise with all of the other behaviours you listed if you want to. So you can work on as few or as many as you feel is right. But one or two could be really good to support the work you've done so far. One, two, three are always a great idea so that you've got your mind working on new behaviour patterns, because they're going to help you with some of your bigger goals as well. So please, please do that now. Turn off the audio, and when you come back, I have another exercise for you, which is going to be helping you to find out what you want in terms of your life. Big project today, lots of work for us to do, so please do finish that exercise before you start with the next one. Okay, welcome back. So by now, I hope you've got clarity on how you operate in terms of some emotional charges. You've got a new goal. At least one, and maybe two or three, around that particular topic. You've also got reality and understanding of how you operate, and you also know what you could do in order to change that old behaviour. And you've got some actions to take you forward, some things for you to notice and pay attention to. So here's the next exercise. In session one, you listed all the things that you wanted or you didn't want, and then you turned them around into what you did want. Do you remember that? Well, the things that you wrote down that you want are now your goals. And you're going to need that list now for this session. So if you haven't got it, please stop the audio and go get it now. So you then in session two did a number of exercises and identified some goals that you wanted for yourself and your relationships. Well, you're going to need those now as well. So please get those and add them. If you haven't got that paperwork to hand, please get it and bring that to the session now. So what you have is a list of goals from session one and a list of goals from session two around yourself and your relationship. Let me reiterate, a goal is something that you want that you don't currently have. So for example, in your relationship exercises. If you wrote down that you had a poor relationship with your partner, with your children, with your parents, whatever, you gave it a 6 out of 10 or a 7 out of 10, and you know what made it that. If it's not a 10 out of 10, whatever that means for you, that means that there is space there for you to improve it. And the space for improvement are the goals. So that's what I'm talking about when I say get your list of goals from session 2. And your session your goals from session 1 were straightforward. They were everything you didn't want turned into what you did want. Okay, next thing. Please write down a list or mind map, titles of life that represent your everyday. So for example, let me get clearer. You'll see more of this on the DVD. Here's some topic headings that take up the majority of people's time in a day. Things like family, career, money, social life, myself, relationships, children, community, friends, hobbies. What else? You'll find that list in your handbook. So please create a clear of titles that represent your life and how you spend it right now. Do that now, please. And when you've created your titles, put them along the top of a template. You'll see one below for you on your handbook. Put them along the top of a template, and you can create either a template by hand, just draw it out, or you can do it on your computer, as you've seen I've done here for you. Now, next, list all the goals that you've previously gathered in week 1 and week 2 and put them under each of your titles, something like on my template. Now, if you've got a huge list, that's okay. Work with it and get it really clearly laid out. For example, when you look at your relationship list, you might find there's 2 or 3 family relationship goals that you can place under the heading of family. There may be 4 or more personal self goals that you want to work on around your characteristics or your skills, or there might be a friendship goal. But what I'm asking you to do is take your big list of goals and get clear about what category of your life do they come under. So you might have 20, 25 goals, and you might have 4 that come under the category of title or family. You might have 6 that come under the category of relationship. You might have 2 that come under a category of children. You might have 1 that comes under a category of yourself. You might have none for your community, but it might be an important area for you that you want to develop. You might have none for hobbies because you just haven't got time with everything else that goes on. You might have a number for your career in terms of wanting to find a new career or wanting to improve in the career that you're in. Are you getting what I'm saying to you? To take your list and start to file them underneath your categories of family, career, money, social life, etc., etc., as I've already explained. Please do that now and come back when you've finished doing that. Okay. So now you've done that, you can notice that I've given you 2 templates. Now, some people like to put their relationship goals, so from week 2, onto a template, and some people like to then put their want list on a separate template. You can do it. What I really want you to understand is that I'm giving you ideas here, but you must work in the way that works best for you, how you like it. So if it's confusing for you to have 2 lists, just create 1. If you like to split things out, then please create 2. If you don't like what you see there at all, if you hate it, ignore it completely. Don't use it. Do lists of your own, mind map, draw. Just make this exercise work for you. The aim of the exercise is for you to know everything that you want in terms of your general life, in all the important areas of your life, your family, your career, your finances, your relationship, your social life, maybe personal development, maybe community, as I've already mentioned, maybe hobbies, etc., etc. It's for you to be clear about what do you want. And you've already created a list in week 1. And what do you want from your relationships? Because we've already started working on those. What do you want from them so that you can see them all laid out? And you can put this on a huge piece of paper. You can put it on a little piece of paper. You can just have it as a list. But my idea is for you to take all of those wants and itemize them underneath the headings that are important to you, like family, friends, career, money, etc., so that they're easier to work with. Otherwise, what can happen is there's just so much there, people get totally overwhelmed, they get shut down, and then they choose to do absolutely nothing with it. They just put it to one side, years go by, and then they have regrets, and then they wish that they'd done something about it. So I'm giving you a way by using a template if you like them, but I'm also saying to you, if you don't like them, please create your own style. So if you haven't done that, then please stop this again and go and do that now. Very important you have that clear. Okay, so now you've got your realistic goals, as we've already talked about before. It's time to create a list of any dreams and desires that you want as well. This is your chance to add anything in that you've ever wanted, but you've been ignoring because either you've been told it's impossible or unrealistic, or it's not for you, or you've decided that you can't do it. It's just not for you. Now, everything that you are in control of. Okay, so if you put down, I want to win the lottery, well, you can write that down. Do you believe it's possible you could win? Yeah, of course you could. Somebody wins it. However, is that within your control? Now, from my personal experience, from my knowledge, it's not within our control. Coaching and goal setting is very realistic. It's about what's within our control. What can we have that's within our control? So you might want to be able to sing and you can't at the moment. You might want to be able to learn a new language, but you were told you weren't very good at them at school. Anything like that that you really want that is within your control, because you could still learn to sing. You could still learn a new language. You could learn to play a sport. Anything like that. It doesn't matter whether you're going to do them or not. Get them down. Everything you've ever wanted in your life, please include qualities. Maybe you want to be more courageous. Maybe you want to be kinder. Please include any traits that you might want to include there. Please also have material items, any skills that you want, any wishes or dreams, things that you want to do. Either do it as a list or create another template if you like templates. You're in charge of how you do it. This is the thing. It's important that it works for you and that you like it, because if it's complicated, confusing, too much, you don't like it, you won't work with it. So please take the time out and do this exercise now. This exercise is called Be, Do, Have. Everything I want to be, everything I want to do, and everything I want to have. Please do that now before you move on. We're going to look at it later when we prioritize. But for now, the intention is to get all of that out of you onto paper. So add them onto your above table or your original list, and continue doing this, by the way, even though you're going to do it now in this session, continue doing this over the next weeks. Every idea and suggestion, everything you want to be, do and have, everything you think about, if they crop up tomorrow or the day after, put them on your list. And coaches, even if you've done this before, it's worth you repeating this two or three times a year if you're serious about getting the life you want and keeping it that way. Because just because we've visited personal development, just because we've trained as coaches, it doesn't mean to say that we're living the life that we want. And I do this exercise on a regular basis to keep me topped up and to keep me reminded of how far I've come, what's no longer important in my life, and what I want more of in my life now. So even if you're very aware of Be, Do, Have, very aware of goal setting, really important for you to go back to the basics, go back to the simple stuff in order to maintain the great work you've started. So please, go do that now, and then we'll round up this session for today. Okay, here's my tip for this week. When you're doing your Be, Do, Have exercise, make sure you allow yourself a little bit of indulgence. No censoring. You know, if you want to be a pop star, but you're in your 40s, and you know it might not be possible, write it down anyway. Just think about Susan Boyle. I mean, she changed so much for people in terms of possibilities in the music world. And if it's in your thoughts, you want to be a pop star, you want to be a singer or whatever, if it's in your thoughts, write it down. It doesn't matter at this moment, but you're already thinking about it, so let's get it out of you. It's a really good thing to write down. I worked with a guy who wanted to be a racing driver, and he was in his late 40s, and he was pretty sure that it would be impossible for him to be able to do that. And when he looked into it, he didn't have the money and he didn't have the expertise, and he hadn't been practicing all those years. And he felt a bit despondent, and he did it from this Be, Do and Have list, a bit despondent. But when he brought it back to coaching, what we did was we looked at, but how could you get what you'd get out of being a racing driver in other than being on the telly and being famous as a racing driver. And he went away and he thought about that, and his actions were that he could actually do banger car racing. And he absolutely had never thought about it before. And what he also realised was that he could go help other young people as a mentor to help them to learn how to drive better, because he was a good driver and he was great on a track. And he got the satisfaction from helping others and from having a go himself at banger car racing on a regular track circuit that he ended up signing up to. He got the thrill and the excitement. He got the adrenaline. He also got the opportunity to win. He got the experience of losing. He got the experience of crashing, which he wasn't so keen on, of course. But he got all the experiences that he would have got. He told me this, by the way, he would have got if he'd been a racing car driver. He even got fame in the local community, and he got to improve his skills as well, and he got to help other people. And so something that he'd put down on his be do have list, which when he looked at it was like, well, this is stupid because it's not going to happen. What he did was he stepped into the adult role and realised that he could have the good feelings from that goal in a slightly different way that still involved driving and getting in a car and racing. And I'm giving you that as an example because you don't have to be on national TV in order to enjoy local celebrity, being a local celebrity in terms of being a singer or being a driver, etc. And coaching can help you to understand what would you get from that amazing goal. What would you get if you were to be the Susan Boyle of the world, and even if you can't be that, what would you get if you were to do something like that locally, or to do something like that in a different way, as my client discovered. Now, I hope that's making sense to you, because sometimes people censor and they stop writing down what they really want because they immediately go, well, it's not possible. Well, let's not worry about that just yet on Be Do Have. We worry about that in goal setting, but in Be Do Have, it's let's get it all out. So get it out, get it on your paper. You might as well. And now next week, we're going to be recapping to see how you've started to progress with the exercises that we've taken. And we're going to be exploring choice and cause and effect. And all of this is building you up towards your goal setting and starting to change your life. We're also going to look at state management, which makes a lot of difference in terms of emotions and how we feel about ourselves and about situations. And we're going to start prioritizing your goal setting. And then you'll get to select goals that you want to start working on for the remainder of this program. So here's a recap. The information we've done so far in this session is to help you identify and understand how to start managing your state. We did that by looking at, so when I'm impatient, how do I know? Where do I feel it? Where do I see it? Where do I hear it? So that's part of state management, which we're going to continue next week. This session has been to help support you in changing your old reactions to external experiences and moving more towards choices and responses. And Stephen Covey's got an article, he's got a section in 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, which you might like to read, which will help you with choice, response rather than reaction. And we've started that, and we're going to do more about that next week. We've also started to pull together all your goals, all your wants from week 1 and week 2. And we've identified your life areas, family, career, social life, children, etc. And on top of that, you've started adding to your goal list in terms of everything that you've ever wanted to be, do or have. So you probably have a huge list of things, huge list of things. And this session has been another step towards changing your life for the better. This work we're doing is foundation work. Without a good, strong, solid foundation in place, buildings can fall, collapse. So we're doing foundation work so that we can build a really strong new you, a new world for you. And so if you skip the stuff we've been doing, your building may not be able to weather the storms of the future. But if you get this stuff really strong, we get you grounded, there's a good chance that all the work that you're going to do is going to come easier, and that you're going to be able to transfer it to future goals when we're no longer working together in this way. So please do not underestimate the power of the work that you've been doing so far. And here we have again your questions for you to look at on a regular basis. So you'll see these in your workbook, and These are to go on post-it notes or on cards and to be put all around your house. And I want you to ask yourself on a daily basis, what are my daily regular thinking habits or behaviours? I just want you to notice, what am I settling for in life at the moment? And now that you have a bit more understanding around what you do in terms of your emotional states, anger, impatience, frustration, etc., whatever you chose earlier, what does it mean to you to choose to go for what you want, which is patience and understanding when your children are noisy, rather than being impatient with them? What does it mean to you to choose? These questions, they mean whatever they mean to you. So don't worry or fret about them. Just ask yourself and see what comes up. What beliefs do I have about myself and the goals I've listed? All the goals that you've listed. Did your mind chatter, your little chatterbox, your internal dialogue, does it pop up daily and go, well, you can't have those, they're not for people like me? If so, capture any negative beliefs or mind chatter you have around your goals, because we'll be looking at this later. And how often do I challenge my negative beliefs? Maybe in the past you've never challenged them, but how often do I? Do I check in with them and ask questions, positive questions, or do I just let my negative beliefs rule me? Just check those questions with yourself on a daily basis. The only one you really need to write down about, what beliefs do I have about myself and the goals I've listed? Because if you gather those, it'll be easier for you in the coming weeks. So your journal's a good place to capture any answers that you might have. And remember, at the end of each day, every day, take 5 minutes and reflect on what you've noticed throughout the day. And the journal, like I've said, or your goal book that you're working in, is going to be a measurement tool for you for the future. I wish you a fabulous week. Next week we're going to be prioritising goals and doing other bits that I've already mentioned. I really hope you enjoy looking at yourself and understanding yourself more. I hope you've had a great session today. It's been wonderful being with you in your rooms, in your house, in your home. Thank you for having me there. And I wish you a fabulous week. Very much look forward to us working more together next week. Take care.